Of Judges chapter 18. While you're doing that, I want to welcome those of you who have just joined in on our website or on YouTube to our service. And I want to welcome those in our church family who are either out of town or forced to work or at death's door, which is why you're not here. And to those in our extended church family around the world and to our neighbors here close by. This is the First Baptist Church of Burton, Texas, located just barely far enough from Austin and Houston, halfway in between. And this is the home of the killer bees. To the best, of course, I'm a little biased to the beautiful. That's because I'm a little blind. To the blessed, to the born again, blood bought, burning bush, burnt Baptist, Bible believers of Burton, Brenham, and beyond. I got it. Killer bees. I thank the Lord that you've chosen this morning to worship with us today. We're finishing up our series called How to Lose Your Religion from Judges chapters 17 and 18. And our text is this question that Micah asked here in chapter 18, verse 24. He said, this is Micah, he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and you're gone away. And what have I more? What have I more?" Or we'd say, "What else do I have? What else do I have left?" We're located in the central highlands of Israel, here in a little village or area called Mount Ephraim. This is the same place where Joshua received his inheritance. It's an area that will later be called Samaria. Over the top of the door of chapter 17 was Micah gets an idol. Over the top of the door of chapter 18 is Micah loses an idol. We've seen in chapter 17 Micah and his times, Micah and his mother, Micah and his gods, Micah and his priest, Micah and his Levite. And then in chapter 18 we've seen Micah and his crisis. And today we'll see Micah and himself. Micah and himself. Chapter 18 begins with the introduction of the tribe of Dan to us and into our story. Micah in chapter 17 gave us sort of a window into the typical home life in Israel during this time. And the tribe of Dan in chapter 18 gives us a window into what the cultural life in Israel is during this time. The tribe of Dan are dissatisfied. They're discontented with what the Lord had given them and where the Lord had placed them in their inheritance. And they were that way because of the difficulty that the enemy was causing them and their inability to fight back in the strength of the Lord. And so they sent 5 spies out to search out a place where there would not be any enemies, or at least where the enemies could be easily overcome and defeated. And in their travels, these 5 spies, they come to Micah's place here in Mount Ephraim. And they meet this Levite priest. And this Levite priest gazes into the crystal ball for them. He reads their horoscope. He reads their palm. He looks at the tea leaves. He throws chicken bones out on the floor and determines that God is going to make their way prosperous. God is going to make their way prosperous in the midst of them disobeying and rebelling against God's will and against God's leading. They are going to find out what they've been looking for. And he sends them on their way in peace. Yes, sir. So they travel up north of the border and they find some peaceful Sidonians from the city of Sidon who moved out into the country. And they say, this is it. We found it. So they go back and give their report to the Danites and say that we have found the place that we're looking for. And so they put the army together who's been hiding up in the hills for fear of the Philistines and the Ammonites. And they load up the U-Hauls and the camels, and off they go. And they stop in again on their way, just like the five spies did. They stop in at Micah's place. And while the five spies keep Micah busy at the gate, some others go in and plunder Micah's shrine of gods and everything that he's got in the house. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 14. Then answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish and said unto their brethren, do you know that there is in these houses an ephod and teraphim and a graven image and a molten image? Now therefore consider what you have to do. They turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image, and the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, what do you? And they said unto him, hold thy peace, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? And the priest's heart was glad, getting a raise, getting a bigger church, getting a vacation package. And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. And here was the crisis for Micah. His whole world changes by circumstances that he could not control. Is that not the problem with life? Is that not the problem of the past 3 months? You can't control other people. You can't control what they do. You can't control circumstances. You can't even control your health. But doesn't it make you happy when everything goes like you planned it? When everybody does what they're supposed to do? All your ducks are in a nice, neat little row? Folks, that never happens. If you think it does, it's a delusion. You cannot control life. You cannot control what does not belong to you. Life doesn't belong to you. Providential circumstances do not belong to you. You didn't create the world. God did. Your children and their lives are on loan to you until they leave home. Your things, they don't belong to you. It's wrong to call them possessions because we don't possess them. They belong to God. And just a reminder, your life doesn't even belong to you. Our life, our breath is in the hand of God. So what's the crisis here? The crisis here in chapter 18 is Micah himself. He's the crisis. In a passing moment in time, he's lost his hired Levite priest, his gods, his inheritance, his money, and his religion. It's all gone. Now, I'm going to make a deep theological statement right here that I want you to get. You need to have a God that's stronger than a thief. You need to have a personal philosophy that's stronger than circumstances. You need to have a value system that's greater than a pandemic. Jesus Christ and His eternal salvation can never be stolen away from us. But folks today are not interested in the true and the living God. They're not interested in His truth. No, they want a genie in a bottle God that they can keep in the bottle until they need a wish granted. They want a God that they can control. In other words, they want to be God and have God be the servant and do miracles and heal them and bankroll them and wink at their sin and their ungodliness. But I'm here to tell you, those gods don't do very well in a time of crisis. And if they're not stronger than a thief, they're sure not stronger than a crisis. A crisis will reveal if what you've got is real and genuine or phony and created by you. If you create and get your own religion, then you can sure lose it. Now, Micah is in panic mode at this point. This isn't right, he's saying to himself. Somebody has to do something. Micah has to get everything and everybody back in control. Micah's probably thinking to himself, I'm a good person. Why is this happening to me? Why would God allow this to happen? I don't deserve this. I don't understand why this is going on. Verse 22. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? And he said, you have taken away my gods which I made, and the priest, and you're gone away, and have what have I more? And what is this that you say unto me, what aileth thee? Micah asked, what else do I have? You've taken away everything. And you're asking me, what aileth thee? What's your problem? Folks, I want you to take a real, good, hard look at Micah right here. Because this is where sin brings you, to this place. This is where rebellion against God's word brings you. This is where doing what's right in your own eyes bring you. This is what doing what everybody else does and thinks. This is where it brings you. This is where changing God's word and the basic doctrines of Christianity into something that you believe and accept, that's where this brings you to nothing, to loss, to emptiness, to vanity. You see, when you create your own religion and philosophy, or one of the existing human religions and philosophies, or one of a variation of them, a mix of them with Christianity, you'll eventually also come to this same place that Micah is right now. it's of no value. It's like a bank failure before 1933 and before deposits were insured. All of your life savings were gone when a bank failed. It's like a business failure, and your money that you invested in the stock is worthless and it's gone. The jobs that that company had, all gone. The retirement, all gone. Remember when Minute Maid Park used to be called Enron Field? Remember when so many people's lives and money and future were invested in Enron Corporation? All gone. Remember the PTO club and all the charismatic scandals associated with the faith healing and the seed money schemes? People's lives were destroyed. Life savings that were foolishly given to these circus acts, all gone. Why? It's because the Word of God was discarded and people did what was right in their own eyes. They imagined their own God and religion into something just like them. And the false priests and the professional Levites, the hireling Levites, told them exactly what they wanted to hear. And after they told them what they wanted to hear, they said, "Now, here's the address to send your money." People created a God that didn't mind if you sin, and they called it grace. That created a God that would never judge them and consign them for all of eternity into the lake of fire and outer darkness, and called it mercy. They created a religion with no blood, no hell, that everybody would go to a utopian heaven, and that required no sacrifice, no commitment, and no holiness. And when the crisis comes, when the death angel arrives at their door, they'll discover that their own God and religion will ultimately fail them when they need it the most. People like Micah, they'll lose their religion when they get bored with it and they move on to something else. When they see no gain, or when they have a crisis, or when they stand before God in judgment. Verse 25, "And the children of Dan said unto him, Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. And the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back unto his house." In other words, the children of Dan that were at the reward, that were at the back part of the column, turned around and they said, "Hey, Knothead, what are you hollering about? You better shut your mouth or one of these thugs in the gang will shut it for you permanently." That's the East Texan version. Micah turns around and heads back home. Are you getting the picture? I wonder if Micah is. He's chasing after thieves who have stolen his gods that he stole money from his mother to make. The story ends with the Danites going on and slaughtering the innocent and defenseless people at Laish. they rename it Dan. And in verse 30, the individual unidentified Levite is revealed to be Jonathan from Moses' family, Gershom. In other words, he had disguised who and what he was until this new opportunity revealed it. Verse 31, and they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Do you see the contrast with the house of God at Shiloh? Do you see the contrast of what's right in your own eyes and doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord? Do you see the contrast of New Testament covenant Christianity and a personal philosophy or a human religion or a mix of human religion with Christianity? If the Lord Jesus Christ and the absolute unchanging truth of His Word is not the first priority and the center of your life, you will go astray into sin and in your own way. Mark it down. And you'll end up in nothingness, in emptiness, in vanity, in sorrow, in heartache. What else do I have? Micah asks as he slowly walks back to an empty house. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us the ending of Micah's story because He wants us to end it. This is my prayer of what Micah did, and for all who are in the same place as Micah. As he reached an end to himself and his false religion, Micah just couldn't bear to go back to the same place that he was. So he kept on walking. And he walked past his house. And he went a little bit further to Shiloh, to the house of God, to where the tabernacle was, to where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the presence of God was manifested. He went to where the man of God preached from the Word of God. He went where the people of God were assembled together. If they take away your job, what else do you have? If they take away your money, your car, your house, your loved ones, if they take away your health, your freedom, what else do you have? I pray that what you have is the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life in heaven without end, and peace, and joy in the midst of the suffering, and His Word, and the Holy Spirit's abiding presence and comfort. That's what we'll have if everything is gone. Is that what you have? Perhaps you've been like Micah, trusting in yourself and in what you think and believe, rather than on God who created you and reveals Himself to you in His Word, who loves you and sent His Son in your place to die on a cross. I invite you to join Micah as he forsakes his own created gods and religion and goes back to the house of God. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. Perhaps, Christian, you've been like the Danites. You were saved and born again, but you've gone your own way. You've convinced yourself that your will is God's will. You've hid up in the hills, You've been shut up in your home and in your own life. You go to church only when it's convenient. I invite you to also join in with Micah as he returns back to the house of God, as he forsakes his own way and serves God with a renewed earnest and commitment. If everything were to be taken away from you, what else would you have? Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you that we have it. Thank you that we can place all of our faith in the absolute, unwavering truth that are in these words. Lord, help us not to lean to ourselves and to our own understanding. Lord, help us not to create our own religion and our own God. But Lord, help us to bow and humble ourselves before you. Lord, I pray for those that are lost this morning, that today would be the day of salvation, that today they would humble themselves and admit their wrong and their sin, their guilt to you, desire to have you in their life more than anything else in the world. Lord, as best as they know how, they believe these words that you did love them and you do love them. And you love them so much you sent your son to die in their place. Lord, you said if they would just simply believe that in their heart, and that you raised him up on the third day, they'd be saved. They'd be rescued from that penalty of separation from you in an outer darkness and in a lake of fire. Lord, you said whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray they'd do that right now. And Lord, for your people, I pray that we also would humble ourselves before you. Lord, that these past 3 months have weaned us a little bit away from the world. Not quite as attractive as it was back at the first part of the year. It's somehow grown very callous and ugly. Lord, we thank you for severing us just a little bit in our heart from that love that we had for the world and the things of the world. And now, Lord, you've drawn us closer to you and to a closer walk with you. Lord, revive your people for these last days and what we're going to face. Lord, may we draw our strength and our confidence and our understanding and our wisdom from you, from your word. Help us, Lord, to be who you've saved us to be and to do what you've saved us to do. Lord, we love you. We're here this morning to express outwardly and publicly that love in the form of worship. And thank you, Lord, for the discipleship and the fellowship and the music. But Lord, tomorrow, help us to go back into the fields and labor in your vineyard until you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray.